I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll.
There's a traditional Hebrew story that tells how Abraham was sitting outside his tent one evening, and as he was sitting there, he saw an old man who was weary from age and his journey coming toward him. So Abram got up and rushed to his side and greeted him, and then he invited him into his tent. Once he had his guest inside, he washed the old man's feet and he gave him food and drink. The old man immediately began to eat, without even saying a prayer or asking a blessing on the food. So Abraham asked him, "Don't you worship God?" The old traveler replied, "I worship fire only and reverence no other God." Hearing this, Abraham became thoroughly incensed, so he grabbed the old man by the shoulders and threw him out of his tent into the cold night air. When the old man had picked himself up and gone on his way, God called to his friend Abraham. "Abraham, where is the stranger I sent your way?" And then Abraham replied, "I forced him out because he didn't worship you." God answered, "I have suffered him these 80 years, although he dishonors me. Could you not endure him for one night?" You know, that story touches us right where we live, doesn't it? I know it does me. I so easily forget how patient and long-suffering God has been with me. And then because of my forgetfulness, I'm much too often impatient with others. I need to ask God to help me see the daily reminders of His unfailing love, so I can extend His love to others. How about you? Do you find it that way too?
Since Jesus, my Savior, from sin rescued me, life's pathway shines brighter. No harm can befall me, though foe should assail. My refuge is Jesus, His love cannot fail. His love cannot, cannot fail. His love cannot fail.
Isn't that a wonderful promise? God's love cannot fail. You and I can reject God's love, but we can't cause His love to fail. And even those who reject God's love as He expressed it in the person of Jesus, they still benefit from His love. Matthew 5:45 tells us that God makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Those are expressions of God's love toward all mankind. His love is so great, so vast, so overwhelming, so much a part of who He is that he can't deny that love to anyone. But you know, sadly, many people want nothing to do with him. Now, if you're just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Hope. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel ministry using electronic and print media to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. We're currently broadcasting in English and 15 other major languages. If you'd like to know more about this ministry, then we urge you to visit our website at heraldsofhope.org. By God's grace and your partnership, we're celebrating 50 years of ministry. To God be all the praise and glory. Now, in just a few moments, we'll have a message by our founder and Bible teacher, the late Dr. J. Otis Yoder. The message is titled, The Long-Suffering of God. But just before we listen to the teaching of the Word, let the choir prepare our hearts with the song.
Theologians talk much about the nature of God, but let me tell you, what we can know about God is contained in His own holy book. But they raise questions like this. What kind of attributes does God have? Then they proceed to classify them into two classifications, the non-communicable and the communicable. By this is meant those that are non-communicable are uniquely and only His, and those that can be communicated to us are the communicable ones. The non-communicable generally have been listed as four: His omnipotence, meaning all power; His omniscience, meaning all wisdom; His omnipresence, meaning everywhere present; and His immutability, meaning His unchangeableness. These are the non-communicable attributes the theologians classify, which God has, and they are uniquely His. The communicable ones include His holiness, His love, His compassion, His long-suffering, and the like. These are attributes which God possesses that He may enable us also to possess. So the Scripture teaches us that we should be holy like God is holy. We should love like God loves. We should have compassion like God has compassion. We should be long-suffering like God is long-suffering. I would like to speak to you about the long-suffering of God, and I do it from 1 Peter 3, 18-22. Now then, listen as I read my text. Open your Bible to 1 Peter 3, 18-22, and follow in your Bible. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. My friend, I want you to meditate with me on the ways God's long-suffering has been shown to us, as Peter speaks of it. The first way is by the purpose in Christ. This is a wonderful verse, verse 18, for in it Peter describes so well what is the purpose. We are instructed that Christ also hath once suffered for sins. My friend, don't ever forget that. Don't ever depreciate it. Jesus Christ is the just one, and he is the one who suffered for the unjust. The Bible has that written in bold letters, as it were, in a number of texts. He is the one who suffered for the many. He suffered for us, and the purpose being to bring us to God. To bring us to God. You see that in the 18th verse? Peter tells us that the one purpose for the suffering of Christ was that we might be brought back to God, that we might be made alive by the Spirit. The Scripture teaches us that all that are away from Christ are dead in trespasses and sins, but that Jesus came so that we could be made alive, so that we could be regenerated, that we could be renewed in the Spirit. Peter speaks about that here, quickened in the Spirit, or made alive. There are 3 great words referred to here. The suffering of the just or the unjust is God's redemption for us. Bringing us to God is his reconciliation of us. And to be made alive in the Spirit is his regeneration of us. Now, we must go on to one of the sermons of Peter in the book of Acts in chapter 4. We find Peter addressing the council after he, by a miracle, had healed the lame man by the power of Jesus' name. Then Peter speaks to them. You'll find this in Acts 4, 8 to 12. Listen and follow in your Bible. Turn to Acts 4, verses 8 through 12. Here's the Bible. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the house of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, do you understand? The purpose in Christ is that we might be saved by his death. That is the long-suffering of God amply shown. The second way that the long-suffering of God is shown is by the preaching through Christ. Now I realize that the next two verses of our text, verses 19 and 20, have for some been a very difficult passage. But I want to point out to you some very great truths that are contained here. We learn that he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, those who were bound by Satan. Now, obviously, that cannot mean that Jesus went to those who had already died, as some would teach, because we are confident and sure that there is no possibility after death to change one's destiny. The Bible makes that unmistakably clear. So the next few words in the 20th verse seem to explain this for us. Who in the days of Noah? Noah was the instrument of God to preach to the people of his day, and in a figure, then, Jesus Christ preached through Noah, for God was offering them deliverance, or at least giving them a reason why there needed to be judgment. I suppose you could say that Noah preached the longest sermon that ever was preached, because in Genesis 6:3, when God came to Noah and spoke about it, he said, "My spirit will not always strive with man, for that his days are 120 years. 120 years of preaching, of a demonstrating that God is long-suffering. Now the proposition was made to them when Noah was preaching for 120 years. Those that were saved were those that entered into the ark. Noah, his three sons, and their wives. The eight of them were saved by the preaching, well, by the ark. Again, we go to Peter in the book of Acts, when he was speaking to the crowds at the healing of that lame man that I referred to a moment ago. Turn to the third chapter of the book of Acts and let us notice verses 19 through 21. Listen again to Peter in Acts 3, 19 to 21. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." I want you to see that, my friend. "Who before was preached unto you." You see what I mean by saying that Noah was preaching and his preaching was for salvation? Yes, praise the Lord. I want you to notice, friend, that they were bound by Satan. They were in prison, but the preaching was what was to bring them to salvation. There is a demonstration of the long-suffering of God. The third way in which God's long-suffering is shown is by the preeminence of Christ. Now Peter makes an analogy. He says, "The like figure unto which even baptism doth also now save us." There is a reality about this, and there is an analogy. Peter makes the analogy between the salvation of Noah by the ark and the water, and the salvation or experience, let us say, of baptism being a like figure, you see? Not putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So there is the analogy. Let's go a little further. For the apostle says, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now, in my Bible, there's a parenthesis, beginning with the words, "not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God," parenthesis. The parenthesis is somewhat explanatory, but let's read it, omitting the parenthesis for the moment. "Doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." That is the answer. And that is the basic position from which our Lord is exalted, in which he takes the preeminence. Praise God. The preeminence of Christ becomes possible by his resurrection, and our salvation is assured by his resurrection. But that is not all, because Peter goes on to speak about how he is now exalted. He is gone into heaven. He is on the right hand of God, Peter tells us. And he further explains that he has all authority because angels, notice the last part of verse 22, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Oh, praise the Lord, because Jesus Christ has total preeminence. Everything else is under him. Now again we turn to Peter in the book of Acts, this time when he was addressing the crowds on the day of Pentecost. Here is a very striking way in which he speaks of this exaltation of Christ. That's Acts 2:29-36. I want you to follow closely and hear Peter. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by, or to, the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, praise the Lord! The preeminence of Christ is unmatched. We are saved by his exaltation. Now notice, friend, what God planned in eternity, he processed in time. His long-suffering is amply demonstrated by the purpose in Christ, our redemption. By the preaching through Christ, our release. By the preeminence of Christ, now our response. Praise God, we do have victory through grace. And so let us pray and give thanks to God. Almighty God, all-wise God, everywhere present God, unchanging God, we thank Thee, and we praise Thee, and glorify Thee, that Thy eternal plan was worked out in time for us. We magnify Thy long-suffering, O Lord. We appeal to Thee for Thy mercy to be extended to us. Help us, dear Lord, to respond to it, and to see that our Lord Jesus Christ is now the Exalted One. I pray in his precious name. Amen.
My friend, as Dr. Yoder said, a time is coming when God's mercy and long-suffering must give way to judgment. The question is, are you ready for that time? Philippians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 11 tell us that Jesus was obedient to the will of his heavenly Father, even to the point of death. God has given him an exalted position at his right hand, and he has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My friend, have you bowed your heart and your knee to Jesus? Is he your Savior? Have you trusted in the power of his blood to be the only thing that can cleanse you from your sin? Do you know the peace of mind and the freedom of conscience that comes from having your sins forgiven? If you've received his forgiveness for your sin, have you then taken him as your Lord and Master? Does he give direction to your life? Do you follow him, even if he leads in a way that's different from what you would choose? Ponder those questions and let the Spirit of God search your heart. He's faithful. He will reveal areas of your life you haven't yielded to his transforming touch. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, please write and request some additional information about how you can take this most important step in your life. We want to help you understand just how much God loves you and cares for you. Now, friend, our time together is almost gone. I trust you've been blessed by what you heard today on The Voice of Hope. And I invite you to give us your feedback on today's program. We enjoy hearing from our listeners. And there are a couple of ways you can do that. The easiest way is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. And if you'd like a printed copy of this teaching, I'm glad to inform you we recently had this whole series reprinted in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the other messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. To request your copy of Sojourners in Faith, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And we also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number. That's 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, don't forget to ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Thanks for being with me today. Next time on The Voice of Hope, Lord willing, Dr. Yoder will present another message in our series from 1 Peter, so you plan to join me. And until then,
walk with me. Walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the story of your love. Talk to me, like you spoke so tenderly when you talk there, when you sea. Talk with me, lest mine ears no longer hear all the wonder, all the beauty of your grace. Walk with me, as you walk so lovingly, when you walk there, when you talk there by the sea. Let me follow in the footsteps that trod the shore.